I don't think I remember ever being so glad to turn the calendar from one page to another as I was a year ago this week. And I remember thinking, 2021 has got to be better than 2020. And it took about 4 weeks for 2021 to look back at 2020 and say, "Hold my Dr. Pepper. We're Baptists. That's what they hold." And I was thinking about that not long ago, and Missy was on her phone looking at her social media, and she showed me a meme, and it just simply said, "Before I take possession of 2022, I'd like to read the terms and conditions." And I thought, that captures it for me. I don't know how you are or where you are, but I find I still have a little pandemic pause in my step. I'm trying to figure out, are we going forward? Are we not going forward? Is Omicron going to be the same or different than Delta? Is new Fed policy going to do something different to the market? What are we going to do with the kids who have missed so much instructional time in school? Are folks coming back to the church? All of these unknowns hang over us. And what I want to ask this morning is, how do we push play? How do we re-enter life with not just confidence, but with joy? That's the question for this morning. These are anxious days in many ways, and I find sometimes when I'm anxious, the words to a hymn come to my mind. I think that's one of the great values of corporate worship. When we have sung things together, those words find their way deep inside of us. When I'm anxious, I hear the words of a hymn, and I'll just sing in the car or in my office or to our kid. Do you ever do that? Do you know this one? "Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? The big bad wolf, the big bad wolf. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Tra-la-la-la-la." Is that one of the hymns at your house? That was a big hymn at our house when our kids were little. Now, who sings that song? This is the congregational part. Three little pigs. And what is the thing we know about the three little pigs? They are terrified of the big bad wolf. That's why they sing it. And that's why they sing it together. Because something about singing it together helps them find new strength and new courage. And ultimately, it's going to help them overcome the wolf. We used to sing that with Rachel a lot when she was a little girl. I was thinking about this last week as we were holding her little girl. And I remember one time when Rachel was about four and there was a big storm outside. And I mean, lightning's flashing and thunder's crashing and the wind is blowing and howling and the rain is beating in sheets against the house. And it did not seem to matter what I told Rachel. She was terrified of this storm. And not really having a plan, I just scooped her up in my arms and we went and stood on the porch of the house because it was in the corner that sheltered us from all of the rain. But the lightning would flash and we would see the trees just waving in the wind. And we could see the rain coming almost sideways as it came over. And we'd see the flash and then we'd start to count to see how far away the lightning was. And we'd hear the thunder, and at some point it struck me. And I said to Rachel, "Rachel, what kind of house do we live in?" She thought. And she said, "A brick house." I said, "That's right, Rachel. And this house is not huffable, and it is not puffable, and it is not blowdownable." And I put her back in her bed, and she slept soundly all through the storm. Y'all, that is the peace that passes understanding. That's hearing a story and getting inside of it and claiming it as your own so that that narrative makes sense of the present for you. And I think Jesus is inviting us to do that today at the beginning of the year. We're going to use his own words. They're in Luke chapter 10. We're going to share the first 11 verses together. If you have a copy of the scripture, would you just open it there with us to Luke chapter 10, and we'll start together in the first verse. And there the scripture says. After Jesus announced the cost of discipleship, he appointed 72. And he sent them out two by two to go before him into all the towns and the places where he was about to go. And he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send more workers into his harvest field. Go. I am sending you as lambs among wolves. Take neither a purse nor sandals nor a bag. Do not greet anyone along the road. When you come to a house, first say peace to this house. And if there is a person of peace dwelling inside, your peace will rest on them. And if not, your peace will return to you. And when you enter a city, if you are welcomed, stay in that house and eat and drink whatever they give you, for the worker is worthy of the wages. And don't move around from house to house. And when you enter a city, if you are welcomed there, eat whatever they set before you. Heal those who are sick and make this announcement: the kingdom of God has come near to you. But if you enter a city and you are not welcomed there, go into the streets and announce that even the dust of the town that sticks to the soles of our feet, we wipe off as a warning against you. But be sure of this: the kingdom of God has come near." This is the word of the Lord. So we're starting from this place. We don't know what's going to happen this year. It feels anxious. And what Jesus said to us is, "I send you out as lambs among wolves." Does that sound comforting to you? The days are anxious and the world is perilous, and we get lambs among wolves. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? The big bad wolf, the big... It helps to sing it. Just having someone else who will sing along makes a difference. The pigs found out even a trio makes a difference. It helps us have strength and to believe and to find that we have help and we need help, because lambs among wolves is a frightening thought. Even in our urban world, we still learn about wolves early in life. It's part of the way we teach children about the world. We tell the kids the story about Little Red Riding Hood and not to cut through the woods and be on the lookout for wolves, because wolves will eat anything. It's part of the way we teach stranger danger. Something about wolves seem to be the very embodiment of frightening in our lore. The combination of a human being and evil is a werewolf, a person who turns into a wolf. Wolves are frightening to us, and they will eat anything, but their favorite thing to eat is lambs. All you have to do is say "wolf," and the lambs start freaking out. Some of them just hold out a knife and fork because they know the game's up. There's just not much they can do about that. When we lived in Marks, Mississippi, there was this fellow named Sandy Haynes, and he was raising exotic animals on his farm. And he had an animal that defies the conventions of intelligent evolution. He had fainting sheep. When they get stressed, they pass out. Wolves love that. I do not know what purpose that serves in the world. We live in a world where there's danger. We live in a world where wolves prey upon sheep. And the question is not, is a wolf going to come someday? The question is, when is the wolf or the wolves going to come? And Jesus said, "I send you out as a lamb among wolves." And we want to say, "No way, no way. Surely what you meant is, I'm sending you out as wolves among lambs." But that's not what he said. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. We would just wish for a better metaphor. The problem is, the New Testament uses this metaphor a lot. The Apostle Paul warns us of wolves that will gather around us in the latter days. Jesus says that wolves in sheep's clothing are a sign of the messianic age. Life is scary, and what Jesus gave us is, I send you out as lambs among wolves. We have these transitions in life from calendar year to calendar year, and we don't know, or from school year to school year, and we face uncertainty, from single life to married life, or at some point from married life back into single life, or from parent to child, or child to parent, from young to old. And we seek encouragement from Jesus, and what he says is, I send you out as lambs among wolves. I gotta tell you, some days I think I would rather be a wolf. To run with a pack and see the world as my plate and to take what you want. And there are plenty of voices out there that will tell you you are a sucker if that's not the way you're doing it. Adolf Hitler said that Christianity is a conspiracy of the lambs to convince the wolves they hate mutton. But Jesus said, the first will be last. And the last will be first. Maybe we don't get so far in our minds that we actually want to be wolves, but we would sort of like to be lambs in wolves' clothing. We want to sharpen our claws and we want to defend ourselves. The problem is, if we're not careful, that's how you become a werewolf. You've been bitten by the wolf, and so you want to become like the wolf, and I've watched that happen to people. In an effort to not get bitten again, we start acting like wolves. We start biting. We start attacking. We become the wolves, and we all have wolf bite stories. Each one of us has walked through storm and fled the wolves along the way. It's who we are. And we don't like being the prey. And even within that, Jesus sends us out two by two. What's with all that? Two by two. Part of that says to us that that's not the way the wolves have to do it, but if you do it that way, there's some humility that's forced on us, because when things go right, you can't get all the credit. But there's also a beautiful unity in it, because you have the promise that you will have support in times of trial, which if you are a lamb, is all the time. And did you notice that the message was the same for everyone? It did not seem to matter whether they received or rejected the message. Jesus said, tell them this, the kingdom of God has come near. There's grace. Everyone is offered grace. Tilly Bergen is the famous missionary who built up Mission Arlington. And her mission strategy was this simple. She said, hang out and hover. Find the need and hang out where the need is. And hover on John 3:16. You remember that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Tilly says the key word is whosoever. Tell everyone. Tell everyone the same good news. And look what the disciples are offered in this exchange. Jesus said to a group of kosher Jews, eat whatever they put in front of you. Swallow your pride. And swallow their food. And make a home where you are. Don't move around from house to house to house. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses. Just eat and drink and bless and heal and exercise. And sometimes you will fail. Don't carry your failures around with you. Just wipe the dust off the bottom of your feet. Don't carry your wounds around with you. Don't become a werewolf. Remember the promise that you can begin again, fresh and clean and new. Or if you need it more tersely, Tilly Bergen says, get out and get over it. That's the promise. We all know what it is to be lambs among wolves, and we know that the wolves are circling. It dropped 50 degrees in Houston last night. And we have neighbors who have no homes. Our homeless ministry is called Manna, and we gather at the north end of our campus for worship week by week. But that betrays a truth about homelessness. Do you know what the average age of a homeless person in America is? It's 11. 11. That's the same age as Jonathan Harper, who we baptized today. Because homelessness really in this country is a single mother who's been made homeless with her children and is living somewhere on the streets. When we change the context that way, who of us has not worried about our own child or a child we know and sending them to school or out to drive a car or out into the world, and we know that they don't know what they don't know about the world into which they're entering? What about senior adults? Who among us doesn't know a senior adult who has lived well and saved wisely and prudently and stored up for their old age only to be taken by a scammer who said, "You've won $100,000, but to claim your prize, you need to send a cashier's check today. Or we want to put the money in your account, but we need your routing number and your account number so that we can do that." And they've been taken for all they're worth. And it's not just out there. We know what that's like. When everybody leaves and the door closes and the fighting starts and we bare our fangs. And we wake some days weary from the fight and still reeling from the bites, and we have sense enough to know, I can't do this alone. You can't get away from it. Jesus said, "I send you out as lambs among wolves." And there are wolves out there. And no one knew that better than Jesus. Jesus said, "I send you out as lambs among wolves." And the simple truth is, the lambs do not stand a chance without a shepherd. A shepherd is the only prayer we have. And a shepherd is the only prayer we need. Do you remember it? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Bible says that Jesus is the good shepherd who calls his sheep by name. And more than that, he is both shepherd and sheep. As a lamb before the shearers, silent, holding up knife and fork, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the very last picture in the Bible is the new heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, and there in the center is the Lamb, spotless and unharmed beside the throne. And there are no wolves there. The wolves are in the outer place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that city, it is not huffable, and it is not puffable, and it is not blowdownable. And only lambs can come in. Tra-la-la-la. La.